There are two words that begin with the letter S that make many churchgoers cringe. One is stewardship. And the other is sin. Well, it's your lucky day. We're going to talk about both today. And if I'm not mistaken, there will also be two possibly unwelcome H words whose identity shall be revealed later in the sermon. Sin. There are so many ways to sin and so little time. I am convinced that the concept of sin is a problem for so many of us for two reasons. First, the church has used sin to bludgeon us into feeling wicked for having lust, anger, pride, or other emotions it deems unacceptable. But much of what the church calls sin is simply embedded in our human nature. It's who we are. We have these urges and these responses. And so there comes a time when we have to decide that either the church is right and we carry evil within us, or that the church is wrong and has no business condemning us for merely expressing ourselves more fully. Either way, when we hear the word sin, we can tend to shut down, either from shame or indignance. The second reason the concept of sin is difficult, I think, is related. Simply put, some of us hear that word and get defensive. We think we're being told we're bad. We can't see past that word to acknowledge our own complexity, to admit to being imperfect, because any suggestion that we are not always good or lovable feels like an attack, especially if it's coming from the church. So we push back when we're called sinners. Well, the thing is, Christianity is not just about God and love and friendly Jesus in robes and sandals. It's also about accountability for our actions. Our faith requires that we follow a moral code of ethics if we are to follow Christ. So if you're someone who recoils at the suggestion that you are a sinner, if you find it hard to admit to yourself, that thing I did was wrong. Or if you're simply someone who cannot accept that sometimes you suck, then I suggest you might need to work on your spirituality. But let me get off my high horse. All I'm trying to say is, sin is not your enemy. In fact, it's part of who we are. And admitting that is the first step in acknowledging our need for God's grace in our lives. No need to get defensive. A friend of mine, Dan Clendenin, was doing research at Oxford University many years ago. For Sunday worship, he decided to attend St. Aldit's Church nearby. Writing about that visit in a blog post, Dan said, "As I walked in, the usher handed me a bulletin and enthusiastically greeted me with, 'We welcome all sinners.'" Dan added, he had no way of knowing it, but those were the words that I needed to hear right then and there. In today's gospel reading, a Pharisee is praying in the temple. I imagine him up front and center, gazing at the ceiling with a beatific look on his face. But his prayers are anything but beautiful. "God," he silently intones, "I'm so glad I'm not like this tax collector or the other dregs of society. But I'm righteous. I fast regularly for you, and I tithe a tenth of my income." This man is not praying to God in the temple. What he's doing is praising himself in the temple. He makes no supplications, admits no wrongdoing, expresses no compassion for those who don't have it as good as he does. His prayers are nothing but hypocrisy. By thinking himself better than others, he shows himself to be anything but. By the way, just to be clear, just because the Pharisee does it doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad thing to come and sit up front and center here in church. Nor is it wrong to tithe a tenth of your income, just to be clear. And then there's a tax collector standing far off in the back of the church, beating his breast, looking down at the ground. He cries, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." In just 7 words, this man cuts to the core of our faith. "I've done wrong. I am sorry. Have mercy on me." Now, we don't know the particulars of his life, but we can guess pretty well. Tax collectors in Jesus' time were despised by everyone. They were Roman toadies who did the dirty work of the empire by collecting money from their fellow Jews for taxes imposed by the Romans. Often, these tax collectors charged more than was required and pocketed the difference. So, unlike, say, the Samaritans of their day, who were hated for just being who they were, tax collectors kind of earned the hatred of their fellow Jews. What about this tax collector? Did he charge more than was fair and get rich from it? What if he had a family to feed or a mortgage to pay, and charging extra was a legal, if deceitful, way to ensure the security of his home and his family? We don't know his story. All we know is, however much or little he cheats his fellow Jews, he has remorse. He recognizes his own brokenness and comes to the temple to beg forgiveness. And that is what saves him. Acknowledging our sin requires humility. Learning humility is one of the great lessons of our faith, and one of the hardest yet best things about being a Christian. Jesus tells us time and time again that we must stop thinking of ourselves as all that. Those who exalt themselves shall be humbled. And to realize that our achievements, as fine as it is to be proud of yourself for what you've accomplished, that our achievements are, in the end, all gift. So much in your life has conspired to bring you to the place of wealth or security you now enjoy. Now, some of it is your own effort, of course. But really, there is no such thing as a self-made man or woman. Mentors, luck, opportunity, things others didn't have, you did. No reason to feel bad about your success, but do something with it. Every year, I pretend that stewardship season is this bitter pill the church makes you swallow, our shakedown, our emptying of your wallet. But really, it is an opportunity for you to practice humility, to admit once a year that we are not in charge, that we are not all that, and to give thanks. And hopefully our yearly focus on stewardship here will inspire us to be grateful year-round, to support organizations that help others with fewer resources in their lives. As our good friend C.S. Lewis once wrote, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less." Be generous. Be loving. Be forgiving, be kind, especially when you can afford to be. But back to sin. You may not know this, but our church campus hosts 11 AA meetings each week. There are up to 100 people sometimes gathered in our courtyard on a weeknight. Whenever I'm working late in my office, I am blessed with the sounds of their gathering, their laughter, their warmth, their cussing. I don't exactly hear their words, but I feel the tone in their voices as they tell their stories, and I hear in the group's responses a sort of blessing. I sense sacredness out there in the courtyard, confession and absolution. They always end with the Lord's Prayer, and I find myself pausing to listen and participate in my heart. I invite you to think of coming to church in a similar way. Bring your shortcomings, your faults, your sins to this place. Bow your head and say with the tax collector, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let yourself be forgiven. Then go out there and forgive and give. And keep coming back. It works. There's a church in Denver founded by the Reverend Nadia Boltz Weber called The House for All Sinners and Saints. They post a manifesto on their website, some of which I would like to share with you now. It's sort of like their Apostles' Creed, if you will. We confess that we are always sinners and saints. We confess that we are not experts. We confess that we will disappoint you. We have learned that the truth does indeed set us free, that we don't do this work alone. We aspire to find the gospel everywhere, to love what is and struggle for what could be, to show up for one another, to remain anti-excellence and pro-participation. And above all, we aspire to share the grace of Christ that has been given to us. That's not a bad way to live. Maybe all I'm trying to say to you this morning is, make friends with your inner sinner. Acknowledge your own imperfections and forgive others theirs. Ask for mercy and know that you will be forgiven. Then go and live a life of gratitude. May God break our hearts open to give and receive mercy.